The reading is in Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning at verse 23. And although it's a long reading, I'm only going to look at one or two of the verses for this week and next, God willing. It's Hebrews 11. I begin at verse 23 and I think it'll be to about verse 31. Yeah. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because that he saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, when the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. We finish there. Now then, shall I give the announcements first of all? Most of you will have heard that the Maurice Roberts of the Minister of Greyfriars Free Church in Inverness, who's been preaching here a few times, after 10 years, I think, have at last got a place. And it's 3.5 acres of land. And there's a very big, kind of very stylish restaurant building with a very large room for a meeting, with lots of little rooms, and also a very nice independent house. And all that's going for £700,000. And you think that's just the price of 2 houses, really, that's going for. So they decided to go for it. And it's rather interesting how it happened. You know how we take people sometimes to these restaurants that have a kind of a dinner where you pick what you want and so on. He took some friends to this place. And he said grace, which most of us do, all of us probably. And the lady who, I think she owned the place, came to him and said she'd never seen anybody say grace before a meal before. I was very impressed. And so, when later he heard the place was for sale, he went to inquire. And she said, well, I've had an offer. And then he said, but she said, I'd rather you had it. And so, that's how it's happening. It all hangs now on one thing, change of abuse. And let's hope that there'll be no problem. There doesn't seem to be a problem about that. But we have decided to help, and lots of for all of the little churches help, you know, it makes a big help altogether, doesn't it? So we are sending £2,500 to help them. Now, and that's not lots against £700,000, I know, but if lots of churches do the same, it'll help them. They're a congregation roughly our size, I should think, generally speaking, older, I would say, but we wish them well. And there are some young families too. It's a nice church. So there you are. Now then, the church office at the Philog is now opening on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 to 9:30. The purpose being, if you want to buy me books for Christmas or anybody books for Christmas, there's your opportunity. Don't buy me any, because if you buy me a book, one has to go. I have no room. Right? That's Tuesday evenings. That's in addition to the Mondays and Wednesdays from 10 till 4, you know. Then, I wouldn't remember all this, you know. In December, the office will be open on Saturdays from 10 until midday. So there's another opportunity. And which is a very nice little place. It has some nice little cafes as well. So if you feel like a trip there, you know, it's worth going. Well, that's all I have. I'm sure you're all very pleased about the Greyfriars. Well, I am anyway. It's, I felt, you know, that they were very restricted. They had, I think, 3 1-and-a-quarter hours. That's just, is that how much is that? 3 3/4 hours a week. And it had to be precisely that. They had to be out. That was a condition that they had. It was very, very difficult for Maurice Roberts, especially when he saw a minister, you know, not just brief as other people, going longer and longer and longer, and some can. Nothing wrong with that, you know, so long as you haven't got a caretaker saying you can't come again. So it's been very restricting for them, very uncomfortable. So I do hope all goes well with this. We might remember this in our prayers. Now, I've read you the verses. There would be so much to say about Moses if I really went into all of it, but it is just one thing here in Hebrews amongst many others. But we look at by faith, verses 24 and 5. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called... What happened?
You've forgotten to say about tomorrow.
Can you believe that? Thank you. What about tomorrow? If you don't know, I'll have words with you. Tomorrow night, here at 7:30, the Reverend Hubert Clements, God willing, will be preaching here. And we're all bringing 3 or 4 people with us. All right? So as many as you can. Bring yourself anyway. And so that we... It's nice to have a nice crowd. That's encouraging. But as well as that, it is a concentrated opportunity. I rang him and said, we want a gospel message. He said, an ABC clear one? Yes, I said, right between the eyes. You know, really a very, very clear one. Because I know some, you know, they may think they know and they don't know, you know, that may be coming. So there's quite a crowd coming from one little village, so it'll be very nice for us. Look forward to that. Now, I've made the announcement. Back to the Bible study. Hebrews 11, verses 24 and 5. The context is 23 and 26. Very good. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That really is the crux of it all, you know, because if you want to know Moses' secret, that there was a time in his life when he made a choice. And there are times in our lives when we make choices. A choice that can change the whole direction of our lives, change everything. There's a lot of it in our lives, a choice of friends, a choice of partner, all these things. But the greatest choice of all is this one. Now, we are considering men of faith. And remember now, try and bear this in mind. We're also looking at the continuation of the Church of God and through pretty lean times, you know. Particularly in times when you think that Joseph was once in a pit and then in a prison, and yet you see God preserved him and kept him, and the line continues. And now we have it here now in Moses. The thread is so fragile, well, apparently, but if it's God's thread. Now, if you feel a bit depressed by the situation today, well, I don't blame you, it is a very depressing situation. But on the other hand, I don't get depressed because I know, I believe in the sovereignty of God. And I believe he's working his purpose out. And even when the thread is like a strand of cotton or silk, it's God's thread and it will not break. Well, here we have another one. We've had Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And now Moses. Now, we're acquainted with the account of Moses and his remarkable escape from death. Pharaoh was getting very anxious because the children of Israel were becoming more numerous than his people. And he felt that they were posing a threat. Remember, they settled there after the time of Joseph. They were posing a threat. And they were strong people. They worked hard. And so he was getting rather alarmed. So he decided that a little boy should be killed under a certain age. But his Moses' parents were not afraid, and they hid him in the bulrushes. And if you remember, it's a very lovely account how it's the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, and her maid, they discover this little child and take him home. Just imagine now, the really important child so got rid of for Pharaoh actually had a refuge in Pharaoh's palace. Oh, you know, there's something rather funny about that, isn't it? Kind of divine humor as well, you might say. In Pharaoh's palace, you might say, where shall we hide him until he grows into a big, strong man? Where shall we hide until he becomes a leader? Where shall we put him? Nobody would think, put him in Pharaoh's courts. Put him there. Now, you know, it is the most amazing, but it does show the power of God and how he works his plans out so mysteriously. It seemed to be the end, and yet God's hand was on this baby. Now, he was grown up now, and remember, he'd been brought up now in all the luxury of Egypt. He had everything. Plenty of changes of raiment and chariots, and they would be like sports cars today, wouldn't they? You know, he had everything that you could imagine. But he was disturbed. You know, he was disturbed and felt unhappy about this, which we'll see in a moment. Now, God's hand is on him. So it's a time of crisis. Will the church survive? Have you ever asked whether the church will survive today? Will the church survive? Well, I would say, yes, it is bound to. Because of the sovereignty of God, but also because of the words of Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. And remember that. They might say, well, look at Wales, two chapels a week closing, you know, and places that I knew with big congregations and so on. And there they are, there's nothing there. Or if the building is there, they don't meet there. If they meet at all, it'd be once a month in a little schoolroom at the back, if that. And so the story goes on. No better, just as bad or worse, but I don't know. Difficult to measure in England also. There are days like that. And it's a day also when false evangelicalism is flourishing. But even though it seems to be flourishing, I've learned this, that their exit door is as big as their entry door. They don't last. So it doesn't do the work it should. So where are we? We're back to God and back to Moses here. Now he makes a refusal. Now look what he refuses. He lives in great luxury. He lacks nothing. He has everything. He can have anything that he wants. By faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now she was very good to him. She had been like a mother to him, you know. She'd loved him. And he's just telling her, I'm not going to regard myself as your child. I'm Pharaoh's daughter. No, I'm not. I don't belong. Now then, you might wonder, well, how did he know he didn't belong? Probably he was told, and you know, those looking after him, we know. But nevertheless, how much was he told? How much did they dare tell him? Yet in his heart, there was restlessness. Now, you can see the work of God in this young man's heart. He was apparently very handsome, very popular. All that was true about him, you know. Now, what did he choose? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It may be a time when they declared him as a son, I don't know. Refused to be called. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There's a comparison made there. Now then, he'd seen the Jews. He'd seen them. There they were carrying these huge, massive stones, and with their taskmasters whipping them and only giving them enough rations for them to survive, making it harder and harder for them to make materials to build with and the life was one total life of misery and unhappiness. Who'd want to be with them? You know, who'd want to be with God's people? Who'd want to be with God's people in any generation when there's great persecution and many of them are thrown into prison? Who'd want to be with them? Who'd make that kind of choice? Now, we're living in a very luxurious time. We've lacked nothing in our lives, really. This latter part of our lives, anyway. We've lacked nothing. What would our choices be, I wonder? You know, when it really comes, what would our choice be? Choosing rather the affliction of the people of God. Now, he recognized the cost. Now, Jesus Christ makes a point of this. He says, if you're going to follow me, now think hard about it. He said, he gave some examples, remember, of an army going to battle. And if the man going to battle hears that the army coming against him is far superior, he'll be a fool to carry on. So he considers of making some kind of arrangements. If he's going to build a huge castle and he hasn't got the wherewithal to do it, he's a fool. And what he's saying is there are many people who'd like to follow me, but when it comes to the cost, they can't face it. And there is a cost. There's an example in one of the incidents of that very nice young man that came to Jesus Christ. He really wanted to go to heaven, but not enough. Not enough. He wanted. But when he was told, and the Lord knew where his heart was, he loved things. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. Well, he'd have to do that or not, I don't know. But that's where his love was. Where your heart is, there your treasure is. And he went sadly away because he had much possessions. He wanted to go to heaven. He liked Jesus. But, you know, not on those terms. He didn't want him that much. He wasn't concerned for heaven. Not that much. That's why we are told there is a narrow way and few there be that walk thereat. Now then, we know this as one thing is essential. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we're talking now about men of faith here. And here we have an example man of faith. Now this is his choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with, he's joining that affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So we look at that. Now then, the choice is between something that is temporary, the pleasures of sin, for a season, for a while, even during our lives and as we get older, things that are so important to us when we're younger no longer attract us and no longer mean very much to us, even here, but certainly in eternity. So it's a choice between the pleasures of sin for a while or a reality that is greater than anything that we have ever dreamt of or ever thought. So the choice is for affliction, but affliction with the people of God. So we look at his reproach. Choosing, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That's verse 26. Explains why he's enlarging a little now in his choice. Why did he do that, Moses? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Well, it's a very strange one. Let me read you from chapter 13, verse 13. Let us therefore go unto him without or outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, what that is talking about, let us identify ourselves with the one who was crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem on a rubbish dump, a very unpleasant, unsavory place, a place where murderers and thieves were punished or crucified. Let us join him there. Well, what treasures do you expect to find there? Well, you might say, what treasures can there be? What benefit can there be in that kind of place outside the city wall as compared to luxury and ease and plenty? What can it be? esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. Said, well, these riches are greater than all the riches of Egypt put together. How did he come to this? Well, the riches we have here slip through our fingers. You know, they slip through our fingers. We have them for a while and then they've gone. You found this in your life. You want something very, very much and you get it and then you don't bother with it anymore. You know, oh, I've got to have it, I've got to have it. And you get it and then you forget about it. And your parents might say, well, you wanted that terribly, but you hardly look at it now. And we paid a lot for it, you know. The pleasures of this life, they slip very quickly into the background, you know, of the toy cupboard or whatever we have. And we find that they're very empty. But it's true of everything in life. It's true of everything. And the pity is that the choices we make are so sad. Do you know, we will always find time for what we want to do. I've never known anyone yet who will not make time for what they want to do. No distance too great, no sacrifice too much, but will not find time for these things. What would you do in Moses' place? Would you say, well, I have really no time for those miserable Jews. I really no time for the people of Israel. They brought this on themselves. They shouldn't have had so many children. It's their fault, you know. Why should I have to suffer? It doesn't add anything to their kind of benefits at all. But he knew what he was doing. He was identifying himself. He was seeing Christ from afar off. And that there were greater riches here. Greater riches. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now what are these? The treasures of earth go. The reproach of Christ. Well, it has to come to the gospel here. It's bound to be. Because we looked at 13, verse 13. And that he went without outside the walls of Jerusalem. There he was crucified. And the meaning of that. Hebrews is full of it. I mean, what a choice our Lord made. You know, what a choice he made. He could say, that lot. Those fallen people. Those grumbling, murmuring, and you know the Jews were murmuring people, weren't they? Always murmuring about somebody or something all the time. There's nothing good to say about anybody, I think. They even murmured about Moses, a leader, you know. And they could see this and say, well, you know, the Lord would know all this. Are they worth saving? Are they worth saving? What made God send his son? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So something really on a higher and a greater level than what we see buzzing around us in our big cities and towns. Something on a greater level. Something that is lasting. Something that calls at a time in our lives for a choice. I know that to be saved is an act of God drawing us to him. But we have a responsibility as well. There's a moment of choice. I lost all my friends but one. You know. But God's in all my debts, and I had more new friends, you know. But you make a choice. Do you want this choice? But I'm popular. When I finish being popular, I'll choose him then. You know, we try and make bargains to hold on to luxury or to hold on to the things that we want to do. But it's no good. You have to come to that place. I turn my back on it all for greater riches. The riches of sins forgiven. Christ died on Calvary for my sin. What can be more wonderful in all this world than to be forgiven? You know, somebody hurts you, and they hurt you very badly. It's the most wonderful thing, if you can have the grace to do it, to forgive them from your heart. You know? And to forgive, it not means, well, I tolerate what they did. It's not that. It really means from the very depth of your heart, I forgive. I bear no malice. I bear no grudge. And even make lovely overtures towards that person or persons or whatever it may be. You know, it's a big thing to be forgiven. But to be forgiven by God for our sin. And aren't they many in our minds, in our desires, in our actions, in the things that we say? And we can, you know, we can say little critical words, or we can be unkind. There are all sorts of ways that, you know, that you can hurt a person, and you know you're doing it. And yet when we come to Christ, we become new. We're not like that anymore. We're forgiven. A forgiven person is quite different. They are quite different. You cannot really explain them. The world cannot understand them. Who could understand Stephen being stoned? And to be one stone on you hurts a lot. But to be stoned to death, and he said, forgive them. You know, forgive them. In the same way, Jesus Christ at the cross said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To forgive. It's a remarkable thing. And to be one day, and we will, and our days pass very, very quickly. I've got a calendar at home, and I've been looking at the thing. It's a wonderful calendar. It has a page for each day, a little thing. It has a verse and a little kind of comment on it. They're really very, very good. And so when it starts in the year, it's that thick, you see. Now, it's that thin now. And I know when it comes there, another year has passed for me, my age, you know. And I think, you know, I'm getting nearer to that, you know. But that's, I thought I've only just started that calendar, but the pages are whizzing by, and so do the years. So does our allotted time. It passes by, you know, so very, very quickly. So why hang on to things? Why hang on to things that do not help? The most important thing in that day is to be forgiven and to know I am a child of God. Well, his reward, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He saw something rewarding in all this. In all our circumstances, in the events of life, he knew that he had been kept as a child, that the hand of God had been upon him. He knew that he'd been kept in Pharaoh's court, where easily, some whisper could have gone around that he was a Jew. He was kept there. But he was kept for a purpose. Never forget the purposes of God. He's working out his purpose in you. And if there are little difficulties in us, if we are willing, we must be willing for God to refine our hearts. Now, are we all here willing? We know our offenses, don't we? We know them. You know, it's no use. I sometimes think we're all blind to our own faults. I'm not very sure about that. I think we've got a pretty good idea, you know, of our own faults. But are we willing to be refined? Are we willing for God to file them away? You know, are we willing? Is that cooperation with him? Work on the Lord till all my soul eternal life shall break, that we may be trophies of grace. For he looked, now then, you see, what had he got in view? Well, really, a key verse, one of the key verses here, like Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He's looking to the city of God, where faith will turn into sight, where hope will be realized, and where love goes on. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, it says verse 16, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He has prepared a city far greater than the cities of Egypt. He has prepared a palace, if you like. In my father's house are many mansions. He has prepared a homely place, yet palatial, more splendid than Pharaoh or any Pharaoh could ever have built. He prepared that and to belong to a greater king, to belong to a king of kings. Moses had a clear vision of this. He had a clear vision so that when his time of death would come, you know, he would have much sympathy with words like this. Be near me when I'm dying, O show thy cross to me. Thy death, my hope supplying, from death shall set me free. These eyes, new faith receiving, from from Jesus shall not move, for he who dies believing dies safely through thy love. And I'd also say that he who lives believing, you know, is a special person. Wherever you are, in your work, in your school, college, wherever you are, you don't fly a banner. You are what you are in your heart and in your soul. And you may not have many opportunities, but you never know, someday somebody will ask you, what is this peace you have? Why do you not get offended? Why do you never complain about other people? Why do you never speak against them? You know why? The greatest sin of the Old Testament is murmuring. You know, it can bring a kingdom down. It does that because it develops. And it says, we're not like that. We're not like that. We think well. In the book of Psalms, it says, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, do you remember it? I will seek thy good. I remember saying in Heath once, on that psalm, pretend now that you over there, look down over there in the gallery. And maybe you're somebody you don't get on with very well. And you say, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And you over there, look over there. Maybe there's somebody there you don't really like very much, but you're putting up with them. Change your language. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Shall I tell you something? Even though you don't tell anybody, it shows. You know? Grace shows. I cannot tell you why or how, but it does. It does. It shows. And you'll find yourself you're encouraged, and you'll begin to encourage others in the ways of God. Why? Because it's everything to you. It's your chosen path. It is your chosen life. He's our chosen God. He is everything to us. I think Moses is a remarkable person. You know, he had everything going for him from the worldly point of view, everything. Before long, maybe to be declared a son, but he refused that, preferring to be amongst those. Well, they would look a mess in rags and dirty and half starving and working hard and being whipped. I'd rather be with them because they are God's people. And I believe God will do something for them. Now, that's a choice. That's a choice. Choices are important. If we all tonight examine our own hearts, and what are my choices in life? What are my choices? Are they purely self-centered, or are they God-centered? Are they the prosperity for the work? If one church in Wales, only one church, had one heart and desired the prosperity of the work of God in every aspect of the work, I think it would turn Wales upside down. If one church could achieve that. Now you might say, well, haven't we done that? We may be on the way, I don't know. But you know, we're all individuals. We're all so different, you know. And we make our different choices. But if you come to that place, you know, how blessed it is to dwell amongst brethren who dwell together in unity. Not only unity in doctrine, not only unity in how we worship, but unity here, in the hearts, with God. And heart to heart. These are choices we make. Now, the church in this land is at a crisis. It's at a crisis. But God has his people. God has his people. He has a plan. And we may well be part of that plan. Let us be like Moses, cooperate and make the right choices in our little lives. We may not seem very important, but you know, he paid a lot for us. We cost Calvary. Every one of us cost Calvary. So every one of us is important in his sight. Now that's a choice Moses made. We stop there tonight now. Now we'll sing a little hymn.